A lot going on CBS and Paramount Plus this weekend, including on Paramount Plus, UFC OKC. We talk about it with Danny Brasco and Hayden Iverson. And gentlemen, before we get into bets across this main card and some of the prelims, let's talk about some storylines and let's look at the main card right now. We're talking middleweight, Usman versus Du Plessis. And here's the tale of the tape here. It is the main event. And let's talk about a main event storyline, Danny Brasco.
Well, after Dricus's last fight, we have to wonder, can he defend elite wrestling? Because in this matchup, that's the big question. Usman, the dominant wrestler at welterweight who, you know, prided his championship run on that style, is now going to look to do that to Dricus after doing it to Joaquin Buckley at 170 pounds for four rounds in his last fight very successfully. Meanwhile, Dricus is coming off a loss to Khamzat Chimaev where he was out of options from bottom position. He said he watches that Khamzat fight twice a week. He vowed to come back a better defensive grappler, and he's got that question to answer because if he wants to get back to his belt, that's a hole in his game he has to fix, and it's one that Usman is going to make him address.
Yeah, 11-fight win streak snapped in that last fight. Hayden Iverson, what's the main storyline you got?
Yeah, I'm glad Danny touched on the stylistics of the fight, because if you look at it, it should be a perfect matchup for Kamaru Usman going in there and wrestling a guy that just got wrestled up against Khamzat Chimaev. But we got to also talk about the intangibles, and that's how many does Kamaru Usman have left? How many fights does he have left at 39 when we've talked about this guy's knee injuries for seemingly 5 to 6 years? Now, it seems like he has kind of figured out how to fight with those knees, but also, you know, he's 39. You know, his durability is starting to wane. He was on a 3-fight losing streak before that win against Joaquin Buckley, which kind of surprised me. I thought 3-fight losing streak, former champion, what does he have left to fight for? But he went in there and got a win in a way where he could probably do the same thing here to Dricus Du Plessis. But always the question is, how many fights does he have left in his gas tank? You know, he's kind of been strategic on when he's fighting. He's taken some long layoffs. Now he's coming off another year-long layoff. You never know after a guy takes a year off how he's going to come back.
Yeah, you mentioned the age at 39 and the age gap. We've got even a bigger age gap in this co-main. It's Cannonier. It's Leroy Duncan. And Hayden Iverson, your storyline here is that age gap.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the main event, it's a 7-year age gap, so it's not as big. But you get to 12 years, and you look at the statistics behind it as far as how many times that older fighter wins when there's that big of a gap. It's pretty slim. So that jumps off the board to me. And when we look at that age gap, you really just have to look at, is Jared Cannonier going to be able to gatekeep again against a very dangerous fighter in Christopher Leroy Duncan? And I'm hesitant to say so, because it seems like we've been waiting for the fall off of Jared Cannonier, but we haven't really seen it fully. We've seen him get hurt in a lot of fights, but he's been able to battle back in a lot of them. The RoboCop fight comes to mind. He got dropped twice in the first round, but battled back and ultimately won that fight by TKO. And that's a common opponent between the two, where RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez did beat CLD. So it's not really a matchup where you could look at it, say the 42-year-old's completely out of it, but that big age gap definitely jumps off the board.
Yeah, a 4-fight win streak for Christian Leroy Duncan. Danny Brasco, let's talk about a co-main storyline.
Well, Hayden talked about Jared Cannonier being a gatekeeper, and I'm wondering if CLD can get past him. Is he really ready to be a top 10 middleweight? Because he's getting a lot of praise for his unorthodox style, those spinning attacks. He can hit you from a variety of angles that you never see coming, and he's rangy, he's explosive, he's really fun to watch. But on this 4-fight win streak, no names really stand out. Of course, he's had to build himself up since that RoboCup loss that Hayden mentioned. That was when he got level checked. But beating Andre Pulaev, Marco Tullio, Eric Anders, even Roman Dolidze, a ranked foe, isn't necessarily making us scream from the mountaintops that CLD is the next guy at middleweight. And inside the top 10, number 9 is Gregory Rodriguez, the guy that he might have to match up against if he wants to move forward towards the killers like Fluffy Hernandez, Kyle Bahalio in the top 5. So this matchup will really show if CLD is ready to be an elite middleweight.
All right, let's talk some other big storylines outside of the main and co-main. And Danny Brasco, you're headed to Red Hawk Academy.
Yeah, Tim Welch has some fighters on this card. He's a very popular coach, having, you know, Coach Sean O'Malley, and they've got a lot of flair, a lot of personality. They're a very popular podcast. He's built his gym in Phoenix, Arizona. That's right alongside MMA Lab. A lot of fighters cross-train there. And Red Hawk's got two guys, two shining prospects that could make a statement on this card. You got Tommy Guns, Tommy McMillan, and Ezra Elliott, a really bright prospect as well. A guy that Tim Welch says is one of the best young grapplers he's ever seen and trained around. So really looking forward to seeing if Red Hawk can showcase some more fun prospects, not just in the cage, but also on the microphone after.
Hayden, talk to me about Chase Cooper, who had a 5-fight win streak, and then it was snapped twice in a row, coming off 2 losses. But correct me if I'm wrong, a pretty big favorite in his fight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a betting show. And if you're going to look at the board to bet something this week, I'm sure you're going to look at that price tag on Chase Cooper and be kind of shocked, because back-to-back fights, he's been knocked out in the first round. And in both of those fights, he was a minus 300 favorite or higher. And in this one, he's creeping up to minus 400. This is a guy who's 26. He's been in the UFC for 8 years, and he had some growing pains early on. But like you said, he went on that 5-fight win streak after he moved up to lightweight. And it was like, okay, he's finally figuring out. But with the back-to-back knockout losses now, you know, where does he go from here? Can he get a win here against a guy in Mitch Ramirez in dominant fashion? We'll see. But just to see him as that big of a favorite again, I'm sure everybody that's trying to bet this card was looking at that saying, you fooled me once, you fooled me twice, I'm not going to touch it this third time when he's minus 400.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to get to parlays and underdogs and, of course, main card co-main fights. But how about a fighter or a fight, Hayden Iverson, that we should be watching out for?
Yeah, I mean, the fighters I want to see fight this Saturday are the two guys that just got added to this card, Damian Anderson and Ezra Elliott. I was unfamiliar with both of these guys. I had heard their names, but never really deep dive into them. And when I got done with my research, I was very impressed. And I was very surprised to see that they're matched up in their UFC debuts. Damian Anderson is a very good grappler. He's competed in a lot of different jiu-jitsu tournaments, combat jiu-jitsu as well, trains at B-Team. And Ezra Elliott, like Danny said, trains under Tim Welch at Red Hawk Academy. And they're both undefeated guys that I think have a lot of promise in the UFC. I'm interested to see if they're going to both go to their grappling, or maybe they're going to go to the stand-up to try to avoid each other's strengths. But I have a feeling Ezra Elliott's going to try to test the grappling of Damian Anderson early on in this fight, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Brasco, how about another fighter we should be watching out for?
Yeah, that's an awesome fight. And you got to look at it flyweight for Aldin Correa, who's actually fighting backwards, it seems. This guy recently picked apart a ranked opponent in Alessandro Costa, just had a really impressive fight there. You see him finishing him in the third round. And now he's fighting a guy on a 3-fight losing streak in Stuart Nickel, who's been finished in 2 of his 3 UFC losses. Kind of feels like a pink slip fight. You know, that CEO in wrestling, when the guy loses the match, he's fired from the promotion. This is it for Stuart Nickel. And Aldin Correa is one of the biggest favorite, if not the biggest favorite, on the card at minus 1,000. I think he's going to put on an awesome performance. And we're going to have to see him with a number next to his name in the flyweight division very soon.
Yeah, certainly a lot on the line. UFC OKC on Paramount Plus. Gentlemen, don't go anywhere, because we've got a lot more to talk about, obviously, for UFC OKC. But don't forget, join Sportsline at sportsline.com/join. And once you're there enjoying all that Sportsline has to offer, make sure you jump into that free Discord, discord.gg/sportsline. Of course, that's free to members of Sportsline. Again, sportsline.com/join. Oh, well, we've got some underdogs to talk about. We got some fight night parlays. And then, of course, eventually we're going to get to our favorite main event and co-main event picks. That's next on The Early Edge. We're back on The Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM, and we got to talk some more UFC. Before we get to the main event, Danny and Hayden, let's talk about some parlays we like. And Danny, I got to start with you, because you know I love a good narrative or a good theme. You've got one.
Yeah, we're going with the Red Hawk parlay. I talked about these bright prospects that this gym has to showcase in this UFC card, and I'm going to put them both together for a nice little plus 242 action. Give me Tommy Guns, Tommy McMillan to get it done, and Ezra Elliott on the money line. I talked a little bit about Elliott earlier, or Hayden did as well, previewing this fight, and I think he's got a tough matchup in the very skilled grappler in Damian Anderson. But I really rate Elliott's grappling too. And if he can get to the back, which he's really great at, I think he can win rounds and keep control there. He's physical. He throws combinations into his takedown attempts, straight right hand, into a knee, into a blast double leg. And I think that kind of style mixed with the strikes and his power, his athleticism, can edge out this fight against a very skilled opponent in Anderson, who has nice footwork, nice grappling too. But just think the potential of Elliott. It is there, and that's really what I'm backing here. And match him up with Tommy Guns, a guy who fights with a relentless pace and pressure. He's going to have to watch out for the front chokes, of his opponent, who's got nasty front anacondas and darces. But I think ultimately, if he pushes this fight deep, his just nasty, relentless style wins out in an ugly fight, Sia.
All right, Hayden, we move from a plus 242 to a plus 223.
Yeah, I'm a little upset Danny beat me on the odds as far as getting the big plus money, but I'm glad he's with me on Tommy McMillan because I like him this week. I think he's just got a style that brings Alberto Montes a very tough matchup. Tommy McMillan was an all-state wrestler, I think a four-time state champion in Wyoming, and I think he went undefeated in his senior year. So, I mean, this guy's got really good wrestling, and I don't really think Alberto Montes, who's kind of been labeled as a front choke merchant, meaning he's getting these darces and these anacondas, has pretty much every single one of his wins, and it's his signature move. So if he does slap that on Tommy McMillan, you know, he could definitely finish it. But outside of that, I think Tommy's chaotic pace is going to break him down as this fight goes on. He's a bit much bigger dude than Alberto Montes as well. So I like him to get a finish. And then we'll take the biggest favorite on the card, Alden Correa, to get a finish as well. I think over the course of 15 minutes, he's going to find openings to land on Stuart Nickel. And if Stuart Nickel shoots a sloppy takedown, you never know. Correa could snatch up a submission as well.
Let's go to underdogs that we like. And Hayden Iverson, I'm going to start with you.
I'll be honest. I don't really think, or I don't love a lot of underdogs on this card. I think there's a lot of inflated favorites, but I don't really trust the underdogs to come through. You were talking a lot of plus 200, plus 300 underdogs, and it's tough for me to outright take an underdog in that spot. But I do think RJ Harris as an underdog here against Alvin Hines is very live. He's a heavyweight who's got really good straight shots on the feet. He's 6 foot six with an 80-inch reach, so he's going to have a height and reach advantage over Alvin Hines. And Hines is coming off his UFC debut loss where he kind of got beat up, but he didn't get finished. And a lot of times people will give you credit when you go in there as an underdog and you make it the full 15 minutes. And after that fight, he got popped for banned substances. So you never know what a guy's going to look like when they come off the PEDs. In this one, I'll take the underdog when I think it should be near a pick'em.
Danny Brasco, you have this underdog that you're about to talk about in your parlay. And not everybody loves parlays, right? So you're going to isolate an underdog at plus 130.
Yeah, I agree with Hayden's sentiment about not too many dogs I trust. But at plus 130, now plus 105, line is on the move. I'm backing the potential of Ezra Elliott. Like I mentioned earlier, Tim Welch said he's the best young grappler that he's ever been around. And he's going to have a lot to prove against the guy that's competed in so many jiu-jitsu tournaments at a really high level in Anderson. But if he does that, if he's able to showcase that, we may never get plus 130 or plus 100 on this guy again. He might be getting a lot softer matchups where we can really build his star and make him a name. So like Hayden mentioned before, tricky seeing these guys matching up against each other. You hate to see a 7-0 and a 5-0 guy with so much potential take a loss in this matchup, but I'm going to back Elliott to get it done. I think the price is right for him.
All right, Ezra Elliott, plus 130. Danny Brasco, Hayden Iverson, sit tight because we still got to get your bets for the main event for UFC OKC. We'll talk prelim bets, we'll talk main event, and of course, best bets from Hayden Iverson and Danny Brasco. That's next on The Early Edge. We're back on The Early Edge. We're talking UFC Fight Night with Danny Brasco and Hayden Iverson. Gentlemen, before we get to the main event, Hayden, I'll ask you, do you have a prelim fight that you like?
Yeah, I'll take you to the early prelims and look at the WMMA fight between Deonny Barbosa and Anna Melisano. Barbosa is one of these favorites on the card that I think is a little bit overinflated. She's around minus 600 right now. But I do think there is a little bit of value on her to get it done by submission, because if she does win this fight and she does cover that price, she's probably going to make it look easy with some type of submission on the ground. Her opponent, Melisano, stepping in on relative short notice. Her only loss in her professional career was by submission. And one that's not on her record was actually in The Ultimate Fighter that's going on right now. She was in the first round and she got subbed in the first round of that fight. She was the number one pick. So I don't really think she's a terrible fighter. I look at her as kind of an action-packed fighter that I think is going to be fun to watch in the UFC, but there's a clear hole on the ground, and Barbosa is a black belt. If she does get it there, I think she can find a rear naked choke. She can find an arm bar, any type of submission. I think if she locks it up, it's probably going to be the end of the show. So plus 110 for a minus 600 favorite for the most likely outcome, I think it's a decent price.
Brasco, favorite prelim bet?
I'm going with Seokhyun Ko to really dominate this fight and cover the -3.5 spread at +100. The spread implies the judges' combined scorecards, so he would need a 30-27 from at least one judge or to finish this fight and just cash us our bet easy. But at -205, I don't even mind the money line. I'm going to back this guy until he loses. I bet against him, against Obon Elliott, and he won every second of the fight. And now I'm a big Seokhyun Ko fan, a guy whose physical wrestling can just put his opponents into the ground with no recourse from bottom. He fights out of the southpaw stance as well, which I think could give Jean-Paul Lebosniani some fits. He's got a good straight left cross. In Lebosniani's last fight, he won a split decision over a common opponent in Phil Rowe. And Rowe was hitting him with some straight punches. I think Lebosniani deserved that win, but you look at the way that Ko dominated him. He got a 10-8 round from one judge in that fight. So I think he can really handle himself on the ground. I don't see anywhere where Lebosniani really outmatches him, and I'll be backing Ko until he loses. I think this guy's got a lot more left in his UFC career.
All right, we've got even money there. Let's get to the main event, Usman and DDP. And Hayden Iverson, I'm going to let you kick us off here at a +225.
Yeah, I'm going to take DDP by KO. DDP's been my guy for a very long time. It didn't pain me that I couldn't put any money on him against Khamzat Chimaev because we know how good Khamzat Chimaev is. But this time around, it's a similar matchup against Usman, a guy that wants to take you down. But I think Usman and Chimaev are just two very different fighters. Chimaev's in the prime of his career. He's an elite athlete with explosive takedowns. And he kind of went into that fight probably trying to preserve his gas tank. So in the 25-minute fight, he didn't gas out. And he didn't really go for a lot of risk when he was on top against DDP. Now, it's on DDP to get back up, but I feel like he's going to have a lot more urgency in this fight against Usman. And considering Usman's age and the overall style of his wrestling is more well-timed takedowns, I think DDP is going to be able to hit him a lot on the feet and get back up to the feet without the threat of the submission that he had with Khamzat Chimaev. Usman's not really a guy that's going to take your back, sink the hooks in, and look for rear naked chokes. He's going to try to be heavy on top, land some ground and pound, and just kind of grind. And I think DDP's size at 185 is going to play a big factor in this one as well. Over the course of 25 minutes, I think DDP is going to be able to land a lot of shots and ultimately get him out of there. +225, I think there's pretty solid value on that. At -250, which is his money line, I kind of want to stay off. But if DDP does look good in this one, I think he does get the KO.
Brasco, you have a similar pick on DDP.
Yeah, I see it the same way as Hayden, because Khamzat Chimaev just had his way with Dricus, and that way he could, like Hayden said, preserve his gas tank, just control him. But even then, in the fifth round, after being just utterly dominated, Dricus still had the heart and the will to win. He started to mount a small comeback. He was landing shots. And that's something similar we saw in Kamaru Usman's win, yet in dominant fashion, against Joaquin Buckley, who also got dominated for the first four rounds and then started to come back, put Usman in danger, started throwing those winging hooks and landing shots. And I think that could happen earlier to Usman in this fight, because if Usman doesn't have pure control and he can dictate the terms, dictate the pace, stay heavy on top, then Dricus is going to start to wear on him. At the face-offs, ceremonial face-offs, Dricus looked huge. I've never seen Usman so outsized. And I think that is going to play a factor here. If he can't just have his way and dictate the terms throughout the course of 25 minutes, the greatest caveman of all time, Dricus du Plessis, can just find one awkwardly timed, weird short shot and totally flip the tides of this fight. He's been losing so many bouts until he's winning them. And Dricus is just a guy that can surprise you at any moment. So I do agree with Hayden. I think he can either find the KO shot or end up taking over in the back half and win a decision.
Let's get to our best bets on this entire card. Danny Brasco, I'll start with you. I know you've got, this is interesting because you've got this Seokhyun Ko money line, which you're going to talk about in a second, but also you're finding an interesting way to play DDP at +600. You've got the floor.
That's right, Sia. If you take the KO or decision prop, it's around -175. If you shop around, it's a way that you can beat some juice on the money line. But really, I see it similarly like Hayden. I think he can find that knockout in the later half of this fight. To take him to finish it in rounds 3, 4, or 5 by KO, you're getting +600. I really like that. I think Usman's wrestling could be effective for the first couple rounds, and it'll be a competitive fight. I mean, he's a championship caliber guy for so long, even though he's 39 with diminishing knees that we've waited to give away for so long. He keeps showing his athleticism and his savvy is there. I think his boxing will be, you know, competitive early on. Rodriguez just has so many weapons in the tool, in the arsenal, and his cardio and durability, he's proven, are elite level. He's fought his last four fights in five rounders. So I think Rodriguez is really just used to this pace and can fight behind a smart game plan that gets him into the later half and then has his athleticism and his just awkward power take over. So I like him to find a late knockout at a big plus money number.
All right. And then talk to me, if you haven't already, about Seokjung Ko money line.
Yeah, I just see Seokjung Ko's physicality, wrestling, and southpaw striking as big advantages in this fight. Lobosniani's a very good fighter. I just don't see anywhere where he outmatches this young kid on the rise. So I'm going to be backing Seokjung Ko for a while. See ya.
All right, that's two best bets from Danny Brasco. Hayden Iverson, two best bets on UFC OKC.
Yeah, the first one, we're going to look for some violence and go to the Chase Super versus Mitch Ramirez fight. As we spoke about at the top of the show, minus 400 on Chase Super kind of tells you that he should win this fight. And if he does win this fight, it's probably with the submission early. But if he doesn't, he'd probably get knocked out like he has the last two fights. And Mitch Ramirez is a guy who's 0-2 in the UFC. He's kind of got nothing to lose at this point. He's going to go out there and try to knock out Chase. He just saw two other guys do it the same way. And he's a guy that is going to go out there and throw. I don't love his takedown defense, though. That's why I'm not really gung-ho on taking Mitch Ramirez as a dog here. I do think if Chase can get a takedown, he probably does find the submission. So I like this fight to end, or to not start round three at minus 150. I was actually expecting it to be closer to minus 200. So I feel like minus 150 is a pretty solid look. And then I'm also going to take Tommy McMillan to get it done inside the distance by KO or submission. I played Tommy McMillan at minus 122 earlier this week on the money line, just straight up. Didn't want to get cute with it, but I do think if he's going to win this fight, it's probably by a finish. He's going to go in there, push a heavy pace at 6 foot. A guy against in Alberto Montes, who's 5'7", he's just so much bigger. And this chaotic striking style that he has, it looks ugly. And I was very skeptical of him coming into the UFC. But sometimes with these guys that don't have the Piotr Jan, you know, perfect technical striking, you just kind of have to take them for what they are. And he knows his style. He's not going in there trying to, you know, be technical and out kickbox you from range. He wants to get in your face, make it dirty, get into the clinch. And considering the size that he has, the cardio, the pace he's going to set, and the wrestling to back it up, I feel like he's going to wear down Montes in this fight and ultimately find a finish. Maybe late first round, some part in second round, but I do think eventually he gets it done.
Gentlemen, we got about a minute, 90 seconds left. I do want to ask you, Danny, because we were sitting here at the same time last week talking about the Conor McGregor fight. Obviously, that ended a lot earlier than anybody, including Conor McGregor, anticipated. Just quick thoughts on not the injury, but should we expect to see Conor McGregor in the future, like fight again on these UFC cards?
Well, he does have another fight on his contract. He's vowed to come back. He says his mind and his spirit and his spirituality is unshaken. He's trying to stay on the straight and narrow here. And like Dominic Cruz said, you know, Conor McGregor maybe had to come back to save his life. This is just fighting gives him the structure, the lifestyle that he needs to get out of the bad habits that we saw kind of destroy him and perhaps ultimately lead to a weakened body that gave out in the moments in this fight. So I do think maybe what can we believe? He's a charlatan. He's dangled so many fights over us that just haven't come true. But if he comes back, I'm going to say they give him Michael Chandler. After all this time, Conor McGregor, I'll see you at the top. Finally give him a matchup that maybe fans will tune in for even.
Hayden, give me 30 seconds on a reaction to Danny Brasco right there.
I think he hit it on the nail. I mean, these guys don't want to go out on a loss for one, but also they kind of need it, just mental sanity. If you've heard anything that Dustin Poirier has said, they kind of need it just to be solid mentally and in good shape and have something to look forward to. So I think Conor's coming back, but he's got to get that knee fixed out first.
Absolutely. I'm already kind of excited for whatever fight he gets, because you're right, he's got another fight to go on his contract. We'll see what happens there. Hayden Iverson, Danny Brasco, thanks for all the insight for UFC OKC. We'll see you back here on The Early Edge very soon. Speaking of The Early Edge, don't forget, we've got the morning show every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock on the Sportsline YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to that channel over on YouTube. Again, it's Sportsline. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon on The Early Edge.